Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Neither Rich or I are natural extroverts, and yet impersonal events form a decent portion of how we spend our time and build our businesses.
I've spent the last couple of months at some of the biggest conferences in the world. Joe has been running dozens of in-person meetup style events across the country.
So what can you be doing to make the most out of attending in-person events? And how about organising them? In this episode, we share our top 5 tips for each. Left the pen, Joe didn't mess up.
super slick intro there, Joe.
I'm Joe Glover, founder of The Marketing Meetup, a global community that connects and educates over 36,000 marketers in the most lovely way possible. Everything we do it to put the human beings we help first.
I'm Richard Wood. I lead the marketing agency Six & Flow. I've worked in marketing for around 20 years now, and I'm a massive believer that marketers should be trying to engage with people on a human level, not just treating them as leads and numbers on a spreadsheet.
Nice.
Did we just nail that in one hit? What Joe was trying to say, we're gonna talk about events today and how you can get the most out of them with some of our tips from pre-pandemic experience, post-pandemic experience. But also, Joe, I thought we'd start off with an apology because we came back and we were like, yeah, we're going to do loads of these episodes. And then you got COVID, mm-hmm. I got busy, I got getting housework done, so I had drilling going on. So like, I think we are like a few weeks out of sync already. Having only come back with one event, one episode, but you know, like the intention is good, and we'll try.
I'd like the thought about humans come first. You know, maybe one day we will sort of make it a really, really regular, consistent thing. But I actually quite like the thought that sometimes we might just pop up in people's podcast player, and some people might be interested who aren't just my mum, right? Who aren't just my mum, but some people might be interested and go, "Oh, they've recorded an episode." Fingers crossed. But yeah, maybe we should apologize.
Yeah, I think that's how greatness is built, on sporadic releasing of content. So anyway, Joe, like, we've got a bunch of points that we were going to cover anyway. But how have you been? How is being back in the real life world event?
Honestly, it's an interesting place. I would say it's been phenomenal to be able to sort of see people, have good chats. I do think there is something really special about in-person events that you don't get from online events. And I've avoided saying that for the past 2 years because I do think there's a lot of magic in online events, but there is something that is recreatable, that's definitely not a word, in online that you get in person, you know, those conversations.
When was the last time you got excited about an online event that isn't one you're running?
I would say probably, I'm a bit of a Ritson fanboy, to be honest, so there probably was at the end of last year, there was a roundup of the year, and that's one that I sort of remember and sort of think, yep, that was one I was looking forward to. Which is funny because, like, I definitely still really look forward to doing our online events. Maybe it's just me, I don't know, but you know, they're still really well attended and people are coming along in the right spirit and stuff like that. So either I live in a microcosm where that is a thing, or I'm just completely delusional. I don't know. How about you?
Honestly, and it's going to sound like I'm just being flippant with it, but I think probably mid 2020, like, yeah. after the flood of like, attend this, we've moved online, like come to this webinar, and like, and being a marketer, like we were driving a lot of that shit, and like there was a good element to it and it was fun for a bit, and then I think it very quickly for me, I got snow blindness and was like, oh yeah, fuck my life, I don't want to see another webinar, I spend all day on Zoom type stuff.
Yeah.
And I think there was a lot of, I think people really struggled to get to that point where content became, like, they struggled with the shift from in real life to like the online, and I don't think it quite gelled for a bit and it lost some of the excitement. Yeah. I don't think I've actually bothered to attend more than like 5-10 minutes of an online event, mm-hmm. probably since 2021, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that is a guess. I think I've probably like dipped in and out of stuff. Flipping like the other side of that, I went to Collision out in Toronto, I think about 5 weeks or something ago now. And honestly, like, I was like a giddy schoolboy on the plane on the way over. Like, I was so excited. And this is the irony, right? Like, I'm an introvert. You stick me in the room and I'm like, ugh. Like, this is like, there's too many people that I like want to talk. And but I was excited about it, and I couldn't care less about the content. Like, it's not the talks. And I was chatting to somebody about this last week, is it's not the content and the talks I care about at in-person events anymore. Mm. It is the networking and speaking to other people. That's the bit that I find most valuable and the bit that I've missed most, because I don't care what platform you're using, an online event, you don't get the same like shoulder-to-shoulder conversations that happen when you're queuing up for coffee. Oh yeah, this coffee's really shit, but what do you do? Like, that you don't get that on online, and that was the bit that I think has been missing from what I like doing about my job.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really superb point, and probably also the one I wanted to make in defense of in-person events, online events, sorry, because I think they're there for different reasons. Yeah. And so the online event is there for information, it's there for education, primarily, and those are where the strong points are.
And I would say online is actually better for education.
Absolutely.
Like, education to a degree, like actually like learning, but I would say impact. So some of my most impactful moments at conferences and of learning have been in real life, like where you're in the room and you're like, you can feel it, and that like the narrative sinks a little deeper, I guess.
Yeah.
But if you're actually learning something and there's like a method to that learning, I think that is online is super powerful with that.
That's it. No, spot on. You know, I couldn't agree more. And that's, I think, you know, this isn't what we were going to speak about today, but I think that's where, maybe it is actually a little bit, because we speak about organizing a little bit later, but you know, I think it's really important that we play to the strengths of different kinds of events, you know, and we say, yeah, you know what, like if we're going to run an educational event for the purpose of education, let's do it online because we can reach the most amount of people and stuff like that. Or, you know, if we want to make it about networking, let's make it about networking. Let's do it in person and that sort of stuff. So I think choosing the right format for your delivery is just so, so important. So, you know, maybe, you know, it's a really, really good insight just to start off with, because that point about excitement, which we'll sort of take into our tips for attending an event in a moment, is important. And it is exciting right now to go to in-person events. We definitely haven't reached that point where it's like, ah, oh, I've got another event to go to. Like, I'm excited to attend them too at the moment, which is funny.
I've got Inbound coming up in September, and like for me and like the ecosystem I'm in, it is like, honestly, my wife just thinks I go away drinking for a week, and that, I mean, there is an element of that, but also like it is the week I work the hardest. So it's like breakfast meetings all the way through, and like it is talking all day and then like right through to the evenings. So it's like a heavy going week. But it's like Christmas. I genuinely get excited about it. And like out of the whole pandemic, that was the thing I missed most. And if they hadn't have shut down Boston, I probably still would have gone. And it was like that. Yeah. And that's like, I am genuinely excited about it. I can, to a certain degree, I don't care about the content. Like I stopped. There was a point where I think after year three of going, where I was like in terms of my learning and development, the content got to a point where I was like, I don't need this from this event anymore. Mm-hmm. The keynotes are still fun and that's great. And this year, I don't really care about the content. Like obviously I'm going to go see the Obama keynote and all that kind of stuff, but I'm just there to go and meet with partners, HubSpotters, clients. And that's where I get a lot of the learning and education from now.
Definitely. I mean, so let's speak about that, because like the breakfast meeting thing is a really nice example of your first point. And without meaning to preempt it, then I was speaking to someone the other day who went to Cannes and had the similar experience, you know, where they were like, yeah, have breakfast meetings, lunch, afternoon, dinner and stuff like that. And I've never been particularly good at that bit of it. You know, I'll go to an event you know, and I'll sort of pop in and sort of see what happens. But actually, your first point is far more proactive than that. So I'd love to hear about your first tip.
Yeah, so my first tip on our top 10 list of shit that you can do to, well, I can't remember what the title is, surviving an in-person event, whatever it is.
Whatever.
So first thing, yeah, it doesn't really matter. So my first tip is connect with people beforehand. So like proactively get in touch with the people who are going to be there. And the easiest way to do this, set up a Twitter list, set up a Zapier that whenever somebody mentions the hashtag for the conference, it adds into that Twitter list. It will spark conversations. People will start following you. You can then look at that list and you can find people who are interesting and just reach out to them. And you can do that across all of the social platforms. So Collision, I must have met with like 10, 15 people just off of that basis. Like a quick coffee chat, like just catching up with them. I had lunch with somebody, like breakfast with somebody. We met somebody for drinks. Like all of that stuff just makes you get something more out of the conference. And I think like you and I, before we were talking, like before we started recording and stuff, we were talking about marketers being drilled for ROI these days. Like it's like, what is the value you're actually delivering by doing whatever it is you're doing? Mm-hmm. If you are going to a conference and like this, the first time I ever got sent to a conference by a boss, they were like, okay, if I send you to this, I want you to write a white paper. I want basically wow. All this shit that I had to then do off the back of it. And it's fair. Like, it's basically an investment. And I was like, yeah, I'll write the white paper. I think I probably still owe him that white paper. But if you are planning to do it, like, get meetings and shit booked in beforehand. And equally, like, somebody like me mm-hmm. and you, like, where there is a little bit of, like, a social anxiety or, like, introvertedness mm-hmm. around that, where you don't really... like you need kind of some sort of structure to ease you into it. Having meetings booked and people you're going to see will start to build out almost like an agenda or a playbook for you going through that event. And it's super useful. And the most important thing is you will get more out of the conference.
Nice. I like that a lot. I've never heard anyone say that before. I think that's really smart though. And it makes me even think about with the Marketing Meetup event when we're organizing it, whether we should be having a bit more of an effort to connect people beforehand in one way or another, you know, in the Facebook group, for example, popping in who's at the Manchester event tonight and sort of start that conversation before or afterwards. That's really smart. And like, was it like literally anyone and everyone? You were just like, you were seeing what people are tweeting, you're just like, hi, I'm Rich, you know, like, or were you like just having a conversation about what, you know, I mean, like how did that play out in terms of like actually getting
no, to, so there, so like the list is just like a catalyst, right? So like adding them to a Twitter list, it makes them aware of me because they mm-hmm. get the notification saying you've been added, makes me aware of them and that I know that they're tweeting about the conference. Mm-hmm. I'll then look at the profile. Mm-hmm. And like an event like Collision, there's a lot of chaff and crap that gets tweeted about it as well because people hook right. on to the hashtag and that kind of stuff. So there's a bit of shittiness about it. Yeah. But then I'll look at the profiles. I'll see like, is there somebody interesting? Are we both flying out from the UK or are we both work in a specific sector? Like all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then like reach out and just say like, hey, like I'm going to be there. Do you fancy like meeting up and chatting about this stuff?
Nice. That's great. That's really, really cool. I like that a lot. That's a really great tip. I'm going to do that for the next event I attend. Good
on
you.
What is the next event you're going to?
I don't know, actually. I'd like to go to the Festival of Marketing later this year for marketing.
Oh, did you just get the email this morning?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't see it. They just publicised it.
Yeah.
No, I think I'll go to that. But of course, it's a funny thing for me specifically because I attend so many events. They just happen to be my events, you know, and so I don't attend an awful lot of events anymore that aren't our own just because I fancy seeing my family sometimes. But like, I don't
that'll
know.
That'll pass, mate. That'll pass.
I feel like I want to make more of an effort because it is good, like from both a meeting new people who don't know about the Marketing Meetup, but also scouting speakers from outside my bubble as well. So I should make more of an effort.
And not just that, it's like seeing how somebody else does it.
Yeah.
So like figuring out like what could you bring into your events? Like how could you make yours better? It's definitely, a great way of doing it.
Definitely. No, I
couldn't. Right, so what's your top tip?
I love that. So we actually do some prep on this podcast sometimes, and like, so I'm gonna make a point and then I feel like Rich might make a point, but anyway, my point is that you need to find events that are gonna suit you, and so the example that I give is that, like, expos for me are just like they're hell, you know, like walking into that room.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I actually love your thought that you've just given us about organizing meetings, because I think that would make it an awful lot more bearable for me.
Yeah.
But more the sort of walking around a large expanse of space where every conversation that you have with anyone on the stand is predicated with, I'm going to try and either get your information because that's how I'm incentivized, or sell at you. It just feels like exactly the opposite of everything that the marketing meetup stands for in terms of genuine connection and humanity. And so for me, like, that situation is one that I will actively try to avoid, because that's, you know, it just doesn't play to my strengths. It doesn't leave me in a place of feeling comfortable and sort of being able to get the best out of the day. Whereas I remember one time my old boss and I went to a meetup event over in Dublin, and we just ended up chatting with these, you know, there was probably about 15 to 20 people in this particular meetup. I can't even remember what the topic was, but I just remember that we just had like a really good chat. We walked into a bar in Ireland and like we just sat around and everyone was really friendly and like was actually wanted a real conversation and stuff like that. And like, I remember it was very unusual for me, because like we left the pub at like 1 o'clock in the morning, having had like a really good night with a couple of, you know, just like people that we got along with. And like that was an event that suited my strengths, because we were able to sit down and get like a little bit deeper and all that sort of stuff. So for me, it's like just choosing an event that is going to suit you and your strength, I think, is important. The last thing I'll say on this is like it works on so many levels, because like there was another event which I travelled down to London specifically for one time. So it's about a 3-hour round trip for me. And I lasted 4 minutes at this event, because I walked in and it was in a nightclub. And so like it was dark and it was loud already. And then people were stood in like booths, you know, so like they're all sort of, and it just felt like a really, really sort of jarring sort of interaction for me to walk up to someone in a booth and say, hey, do you mind if I sit down here with you random strangers?
It's like dating all over again.
Yeah. there's a reason that Jet is like one of my first proper like relationships. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, and like it was just like it was not geared up at all again to my strengths, you know. And so I went in, I panicked, and I just left, and I got the train straight home. So it was just another example of like, find the events that suit your strengths, and then you're on to a winner, or you give yourself the best chance to make it a success.
So I've listened to you. so my next top tip is, don't listen to Joe. Expos can be fun. Now there's a couple of things around that. So like I agree with you, like that meat market feeling of like being thrown at the walls, they're trying to sell me some shit, like can be super jarring. But I actually think that is more about how you approach it. Because mm-hmm. So I actually, the most value, long lasting value, so post event, I normally get is when I've gone up to those, like the expo parts of a white, so like Inbound, right, and Collision, mm-hmm. there's like a central area where everybody's got stands, and then like the content happens around that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually spend more time in there, because I'm looking for new bits of tech. I'm looking to understand what can be done in the market. And I approach those conversations with, I know you're trying to sell me something and I might consider that as something, but tell me what your tech can do. Give me an understanding of how that can work in my normal tech stack. Mm. And that's a super easy way for me to get some like deeper understanding of like what's going on with it. And yet, like I know that I'm going to be bombarded with some like sales emails and they are ultimately trying to flog me some stuff, but I'm actually approaching it going, no, I'm actually getting some learning and understanding of what this stuff could do out at the back of that as well. So expos can be useful if you approach them. And then if you go back to my first point as well, is booking in those meetings where even if it is just a straight up expo, there's no content, then if you are booking peripheral meetings, you've got all of these people from out of town who are like coming in from different areas. You can get breakfast meetings, you can get evening meetings, there's always drink sessions. So your pub analogy, they're like, that will be happening, just not on the floor. So as long as you're being proactive with the beginning bit and you're clear of what you're trying to get out from the expo side, can be loads of fun. And actually, one of my best life experiences was at an expo. It was the London Bar Expo. And we got in and we told them that we were bar managers for the bars that we worked at. And we were just given alcohol all day. It was incredible. And that's because they were trying to sell us stuff. So I think as long as you go in with that expectation of somebody's trying to flog me something, but there are nuggets of information I can get out of them.
Yeah.
So like if you go and speak to, so I go and speak to a SaaS company at Inbound, say, what I am learning from them at that point is, A, what can their tech do? What are they seeing in the market? What kind of clients do they have and do they service? Mm-hmm. So A, I can see, I start going, okay, is this a service I can build out within the business? Is it a tech platform I can bring into what we deliver for our clients? And equally, is there another market that I'm not aware of? So I might go and speak to a SaaS company and they say, yeah, we really focus heavily on the recruitment space.
Mm-hmm.
Like we work with recruitment agencies or whatever. Now we work heavily with recruitment agencies already, but like I can start to see, okay, well actually maybe there's a new market over here or a new market and they do this for recruitment agencies. Okay, so can I expand my services out?
Wow.
Yeah, the cost of that conversation for me is that they're gonna try and flog me some stuff, but equally I'm old enough and wise enough now to know how to bat those conversations back until it becomes a useful point of view. And I'll quite often be quite real with them and say, I'm not looking to buy at this point, at some point potentially, but like, let's have a discussion about what it is and what it can do.
It's good. You know, it's interesting. So I think maybe in I know this sounds stupid given like how long, you know, I'm like 30, but like, I feel like I've become quite cynical about quite a lot of things. So like NFTs is like an example, like where I'm like, you know, that's a bunch of rubbish. You know, there's just a bunch of NFT bros, you know, and stuff like that. And I feel the same about a lot of SaaS companies as well. You know, I see them describe themselves as a B2B, AI, big data, whatever. And I'm like, I can find myself shutting myself off to that quite a lot. But a couple of weeks ago, we had the marketing director for brand and reputation from Google, a lady called Nishma, come and speak to the marketing meetup. And like, she reignited something in me, which was like a joy in learning, you know, and a joy in finding out these things. So rather than sort of saying, oh, NFTs are a bunch of rubbish, or that SaaS product is a bunch of rubbish, actually sort of finding the joy in the inquisitiveness about it and sort of like actually wanting to do that. And I hear you say what you've just said, and like that speaks to that, you know, for me is like there's something to be taken that is good from that conversation rather than how I framed it initially, which was quite cynical and bad in a way.
And my learning strength, the way I learn, is by breaking stuff, like pushing it to the point that it doesn't work, dialing it back and understanding it. That's how I understand the limitations of something. And like, we've done that with every piece of tech we've ever brought in. And I think there's an air of mischievous about me as well when I'm talking to these SaaS companies and they're telling me it can do this, 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 and this. Because then I'm asking them questions like, but this platform already does that. How are you different from that? And I am learning, but I'm also being mischievous as fuck. Because I'm like, I know that they are probably not wanting to have that side of the conversation, but it's entertaining as well. I actually had the third point, so I was just going to say you were wrong, but I then actually gave it some credibility. But my actual point for this is, take some chewing gum if you're going to an in-person event. Take some chewing gum. There's long days of talking, like, and shitty conference coffee. Eventually you're going to feel and smell like someone shat in your mouth. Take some chewing gum. Like, it's conference breath is a real thing. Anyway.
I love that you'll feel like someone shat in your mouth was a premeditated act. So I've seen it in the notes.
Absolutely. So what's your next tip, Joe?
My next tip is, this is a quick one, really. I don't think it needs to be too deep, but I think when I started attending an event, I always felt like I had to look like the smart person in the room. Of course, that's rubbish, because we've already spoken about working to your strengths, and being smart is not necessarily one of my strengths. But I think there's something that is so liberating and empowering about the thought that in the knowledge that questions are just as valuable as statements and giving information. And there's a little bit about what you've just spoken about with the expo thing, that, like, particularly as introverts or walking into these rooms, then you feel like you have to be this gregarious person who sort of like is adding a bunch to the conversation. But I think the realization that you're adding to the conversation just by being interested in the person in front of you and asking questions was a big realization for me, and something that's been really useful sort of going forward. And actually, again, speaking about leaning into your strengths, I am naturally inquisitive about people, and so actually to sort of have a conversation that way, it's not about interviewing them or it being a one-sided Q&A, but just sort of having a bit of liberation, knowing that you don't have to sort of be presenting information all the time. That was really useful. So that definitely,
some of the best networkers I know have stock questions that if you were to follow them around the room, uh-huh, they ask the same shit over and over again, but they do it in a way where, like, they sound like they are genuinely interested. And, like, at the base level, it's like, who are you, what do you do, who do you work for, how did you get here today, like, and it's starting a conversation, and they just have this armory of things that they can just keep asking about. Mm-hmm. So I really struggle past a point if, and this can sound horrible, but if I don't find somebody interesting, or like what they do interesting, or it matches with some knowledge that I have that I can then ask some more questions, I find it really difficult to get past that superficial level. So if you ever meet me at a conference and I only ask you a couple of questions and then fuck off, you probably couldn't find it that interesting. So, but if you were to say to me, like, we were to meet and I like ask you basic stuff in the marketing meetup, and I'd be like, oh, I'm in marketing. Like, well, like, what does it do? Like, what's your audience? Like, how does it work? Like, all that kind of stuff. That I can have that. I need to align it with some sort of knowledge. Otherwise I run out of shit to say. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the bit I sometimes struggle with, because if I'm tired, if I've been talking all day, I lose that armory of like, here's my standard questions. And then very quickly I'm like, oh great, you work in NFTs. Can you lose loads of money recently?
Maybe that's where your mischievousness kicks in. Maybe your stop questions dry up and you just start taking the mic. I don't know. Maybe that's when your true style comes out. Let's go to your next one, because we've got
so loads. Next one for me, location does matter. Now, like, this, I mean, much more, and there's a couple points to that, right? So like the event you just talked about, the shitty nightclub, like seedy nightclub experience for an event. That kind of stuff does impact. Now, some people would have enjoyed that. They would have been like, oh, this is quite cool. It's different. And it just didn't fit for you. It's fine.
Yeah.
But that's the important thing. Like, it's you going to this event. It's you. So you need to make sure that this is going to be an environment that you're going to be like okay in. But also, if you're traveling, it's like a 3-day event or somewhere, you want to make sure that it's a city that you can, there's peripheral stuff around it as well. So like, and this is part of why we love going to Boston for inbound. It is a great city, very, very chill, very fun to hang out in on the stuff around it. So it's not just going to a, like going to the conference center all day. Like there's stuff you can unwind and detach from around it as well. I think that for me is an important part of like the conferences I go to as well.
100%. No, Boston in particular, I've ran a couple of events in Boston, and it's just a beautiful city to run, so it's good to keep it in mind, as you say. We've gone through 5 tips right there, and we're already at like the length of our normal episode, so I might propose a part 2 if that's all right with you, and we'll do a second.
Fine by me. I mean, I've had my fill of talking to you already.
So we'll do a part two on organising events, because that feels like a separate conversation. But I've really enjoyed that. Actually, I've definitely taken that tip, particularly about doing the pre-work. That landed a lot. So thanks for that, mate. I appreciate it.
Your internet bugged out a little bit. So what have you said? I thought it was like, Rich, you were amazing in that.
It genuinely was.
Thanks actually, for hanging out.
I actually said thank you for improving my event experience.
So. Perfect. Good. Well, thank you, Joe, for being you.
Yeah. Thanks, mate. Right,
thanks for listening, everybody. See you later.
Bye.